Listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
The Denver Broncos get their first win of the season at the Meadowlands against the New York Jets 37-28. This is your Locked On Broncos post-game report. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. You can follow the podcast at Locked On Broncos. And today's post-game report is brought to you by NFL Game Pass, where this season you get football on your time. With NFL Game Pass, you get to see all the action from every game with full game replays, including the Broncos-Jets Thursday night football game. You can also replay an entire game and catch all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Ladies and gentlemen, Victory Friday here in Broncos country. From the south stands to the end zone, you are Locked On Broncos. Obviously, it was a slugfest in the Meadowlands between these two football teams, and we're going to recap on today's show how it went down, the drama, the excitement, and also some of the conflict in this matchup. Then we're going to take a look, a deep dive at the Broncos on offense. We're going to take a deep dive on the Broncos on the defensive side of the ball. There's a lot of positives to take away, and there's also a lot of things, too, when you go back and you reference the film, that the Broncos are going to have to fix. But they're going to get 10 days off between now and their matchup against the New England Patriots next Sunday, 2:25 p.m. Mountain Time kickoff. We got a lot to compress here on today's episode of the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the action here. Kind of a recap of the game here for this Broncos football team. Really just not off to a great start against the New York Jets. Sam Darnold, I mean, the Broncos executed a very, very good blitz design. Alexander Johnson comes after Sam Darnold, but he doesn't wrap up, he doesn't break down, and Darnold somehow breaks out of there and makes Justin Simmons miss a tackle, and then he just runs all the way 46 yards for a touchdown. The Broncos would start things off down 7-0. So you looked at the timeline on Twitter, everyone's like, all right, here we go. This is the start. This is how it's going to go for the Broncos. But really, they came in and they were really poised with Brett Rypien in that first half. They had a 10-play, 52-yard drive that would capped off by a Brandon McManus 40-yard field goal, who really was the MVP of this game, in my opinion. If we're going to give a guy who really did a good job all across the board, came up reliable when needed, it was Brandon McManus. But in the second quarter, the Broncos would get their first touchdown of the game. Brett Rypien throws it deep right to Jerry Jeudy. The pass was underthrown. It looked like Pierre Desir was going to come up with an interception, but Jerry Jeudy rises above, pulls it from Pierre Desir, backpedals into the end zone, touchdown Denver. They would go up 10-7 shortly at the start of the second quarter. So that was great for the Broncos there. And then they would hold the Jets to a 26-yard field goal to tie it up at 10-10 midway through the second quarter. But then the Broncos would get another touchdown with Melvin Gordon punching it in from 1 yard out on a 9-play, 80-yard drive to give the Broncos a 17-10 advantage. And then the New York Jets would get a little bit of momentum going into halftime. They would kick a field goal from about 38 yards out to make the score at halftime 17-13. And then coming into the third quarter, this is where it was gut check time for this Broncos team. They got the ball to receive, really couldn't do anything of it. They go three and out quick, and then the Jets come down there and they kick a field goal, really predicated off of a penalty on Michael Ojemudia. Not very excited about that. You know, it was a great play by Ojemudia, hand on the hip of the receiver. There was some hand fighting between him, and then they called him for PI. He had a great game. He knocked the pass down, but they called him for PI, and it led to a field goal there. So obviously, you know, a rough start there. But then Brett Rypien would come out for the Broncos on a 13-play, 75-yard drive, and he would fire a shot in the middle of the end zone on a little bit of a fade post route to Tim Patrick for a touchdown, and this would give the Broncos a 24-16 advantage. McManus would also boot in a 54-yarder towards the end of the third quarter as well to make it 27-16. So Broncos going into fourth quarter, they have an 11-point lead, and that was one thing I don't think anybody's been used to so far this season, is Denver playing with a lead. And that lead evaporated. Sam Ficken kicked in a 54-yard field goal and then a 36-yard field goal as well. And that made it to where the Broncos at this point were trailing 28-27. And this was really after a bad sequence of events overall for Denver, not to mention a pick six early on in the game by Pierre Desir. You know, it was a rough start, you know, I'd say overall in the second half for Brett Rypien and company. But McManus would then come in clutch once again, booted in a 53-yard field goal to make the score 30-28. Broncos would get the ball back, and on the first play, it was a one play, 43-yard touchdown run by Melvin Gordon. You know, he got it on the interior. There was kind of a pile. He dumped out to the left side, and Brett Rippon throws a block, and he does the rest, and he punches it in. Denver holds on to win 37-28. Some antics, some some questionable decisions. The Jets decided to use their timeouts even when there was 12 seconds left. And so the Broncos, they tried to roll out on fourth down. Not really a big fan of the call, but they were rolling out play action to the right. Not really play action. It was just a quick sprint out to the right just to throw it down to the right side to run some time off the clock. There was a couple of late hits by the Jets defense, a lot of Bush League stuff. Vic Fangio got the guys off the field. But outside of that, you know, there's a lot of things to take away from this game outside of the game recap. Brett Rippon, you know, like I said, promising first half, and then he plummeted down in the second half. I mean, he threw two touchdowns, he threw three interceptions, and the three interceptions were really bad. Just the decision-making process. We're going to dive into a little bit of the offense coming up here in just a little bit. Melvin Gordon, obviously the Broncos have over 100 yards rushing on the ground. They even had a Jeff Driscoll-designed draw that gained 9 yards plus a 15-yard penalty to boot. I believe the Broncos at wide receiver, Tim Patrick, comes up big. 6 catches, 113 yards, 1 touchdown. Jerry Jeudy, 2 catches. 61. Noah Fant was a third leading receiver with 5 catches, 35 yards, would leave in the third quarter with an ankle injury. But on the injury side of things, the Broncos are okay. Noah Fant, the injury is expected to be minor, so that is great. He did not return in the fourth quarter at the Meadowlands as the Broncos go 1-3 on the season so far, 37-28 victory. We're going to get into really a lot of the great stuff here for this Broncos football team. Coming up here in just a moment, Broncos country, we're going to take a deep dive at the Broncos offense. What did they do right? How did the offensive line look? How did everybody else look? And how did the performances magnify themselves? We're going to talk about that coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, I got to tell you about the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there at Pepsi. And this football season is different. And Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch football this season. Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. And our good friends over there at Built Bar. Now they've got a new product called Built Go, and this is exactly what you need when you need to break through a wall in the morning, in the afternoon, or in the evening. Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do, and it helps you break through your wall. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go every single day. It's easy to take in 1.5 ounce packages. You get to put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation you'll ever have, your golf bag to power through the back nine, or to put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel in the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results with 3 delicious flavors like peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, so collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast, plus it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my work, especially on this post-game podcast we recorded late after the Broncos and Jets game. So visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Now we're going to focus on an offensive breakdown from the Broncos' 37-28 victory over the New York Jets on Thursday Night Football. And really, I think for the most part, what we saw with Brett Rippon, I'm going to focus on him for a little bit here. Coming into this game, you saw where the Broncos decided to go with him, and he was starting to write his legend a little bit here, I think, amongst Broncos country. He played a really good first half. He did have this one play where he was rolling out to his right, and he went to go throw the ball away, and he didn't really throw it out of bounds. I mean, he really threw it quite, you know, in front of Pierre Desir, who got 2 feet in. It ended up being an interception, so it was a boneheaded play, you know, something you got to learn from. And then he comes back, he responds really well. I mean, he goes down, leads a drive, and finds Tim Patrick for a touchdown. But the thing that really impressed me the most about Brett Rippon was that he was processing where the blitz was coming from. He was adjusting that at pre-snap. I mean, here's something that the New York Jets did, and this is going to be something that's going to be a trend, I think, for many other teams in the National Football League when they play the Denver Broncos, is that they're always going to be focusing on lining up a defensive tackle in a one technique or in a zero technique, so somewhere on Lloyd Cushenberry, and then they're going to walk that linebacker up, or they're going to play him off at about maybe 2 to 3 yards, and then they're going to slant that one technique or that zero technique to force Lloyd Cushenberry to commit inside. And when the Broncos go in a shotgun formation, they're usually, if they're not going to keep a running back in for pass pro, they're going to swing him out, they're going to run him on an angle route. Now you're starting to see the inside linebacker crash in, and they're also having the edge guy or a nickel guy blitz off the outside. So if you have a tight end to the left side and you got the nickel there, then they're going to blitz the inside linebacker into the A gap while they slant slant away, that zero tech or that one tech, a cross face to the offensive right side. And then they got the defensive end. He's got a one-on-one with Garrett Bowles. And then you got the other guy, if he's blitzing, you got him with Dalton Risner. So, you know, teams are being really creative with how they scheme to get pressure against the Broncos. But you know the evident difference maker in Thursday's game against the Jets were, against a very aggressive defense, mind that, is that they got the ball out of the hands quickly. So that's one thing that Brett Rypien did. However, when the Broncos went to go with some more RPO type stuff, that's where you saw Brett Rypien start to overthink. That paralysis by analysis. There was an RPO play where he faked the inside handoff to Royce Freeman. He kind of clutched the ball and then he threw it into triple coverage. It was intercepted by Pierre Desir, who came away, I mean, ironically, with those interceptions. I mean, he's the one he got picked on, and then he redeemed himself with, I believe it was the two interceptions, or he had three interceptions. You know, I don't know quite off the top of my head, but you know he had two for sure. So obviously some bad mistakes there by Brett Rypien. The three interceptions all came costly. And there was a point in his last, I believe it was the last four pass attempts that he had had going into that fourth quarter, his last two passes of the four were intercepted. So you can't have that happen. And obviously I think for the Broncos, you know, you play a team like the New England Patriots, you make any mistake like that, you throw one interception like that, and it's really hard to come back against a Bill Belichick coach team, which now the Broncos have to prepare for. Luckily, they get 10 days off. They get some guys back healthy, more than likely. You're not going to see Drew Lock this week, more than likely. You're not going to see A.J. Boye. You're more than likely going to see them make their return against Miami the following week after the New England game. So that's the best bet right now for this Broncos team. There is some hope that Noah Fant will be able to play. Imagine that's going to be the case there for them. But, you know, really just impressed with Brett Rypien's decision-making in the first half. Not so much in the second half. You know, just really just kind of staring his target down, staring Jerry Jeudy down. And the defense, I thought, for the Jets did a good job of combining the pressure and the blitz to really get him to force that ball out quickly, and they did just that. But then, you know, he did redeem himself a couple of times. He had a nice little angle route throw to Melvin Gordon, who had a drop there. Gordon comes in, has a great game. Like I said, 23 carries on the ground, 107 yards, and two touchdowns. And, you know, for him, he's seeing a lot of action where the interior of that offensive line, they're slanting on the inside in the A and B gap, and they're compressing the edge. It's making it really hard. So he's, you know, trying to bounce out to the outside, but you know, you got great play side pursuit from the backside linebacker or the safety or the nickel guy. And so there was times where it was really hard for Melvin Gordon to find anything. You know, Royce Freeman came to the game as well, had three carries for only 6 yards, couldn't get anything as well because teams just kind of compressed the middle because they knew he's not really an outside runner. He's more of that downhill physical inside runner. And that was where the Broncos really need a guy like Philip Lindsay back, who could be returning next week against the New England Patriots. So keep an eye on that there for the Broncos. But let's take a look here at the offensive line. I thought for the most part, I thought that DeMar Dotson filling in at right tackle, I thought he did pretty well in various pass pro sets, but there's also some areas of concern as well. Some pressure late in that game off the right side towards Brett Rypien. He took a couple of shots there as well. So the one thing I did notice about DeMar Dotson, I feel like when the Broncos go quick passing game, he is better suited there because he has a chance to get his hands on guys rather than having to kick step and block for 1-1001, 1-1002, 1-1003, 1-1004. You know, especially if you go play action, he's not that great at moving laterally. And there was a time where the Broncos on their first drive, they attempted to go with a screen pass to the outside to Royce Freeman, and DeMar Dotson could not get up there to the next level to get to that cornerback. That's part of his play design there. We'll look at it on the film as well. But you know, those are the concerns as well. So I think the Broncos, for the most part, did a good job, I think, on the coaching stature and the offensive stature of helping out with DeMar Dotson. He was solid in most of the pass pro sets that they had. He was decent in the run blocking department there, but towards late in the game, I think he was tired a little bit, and obviously not a lot of experience with this Broncos offense as is. I think that kind of accumulated to it as well. But I mean, overall, I came away impressed with the Broncos offensive line. Quarterbacks didn't take as many hits as we saw last week against Tampa Bay. However, they took some unnecessary shots towards the end of that game there. I was feeling for Brett Rypien. It kind of hurt me to watch him take some of those shots there, some of the dirty shots that the Jets had, and it's just the unfortunate nature of a Greg Williams coach defense. But the offense responded really well. In terms of the skill players, Tim Patrick, just a big game for him, came up big for the Broncos, had a couple of big third down catches to move the chain, especially late in that fourth quarter. There was, I believe it was an 18-yarder down the left side. He got a toe tap in and was able to keep his balance, move the chains for the Broncos, coming off of that Jeff Driskel interception, especially on 3rd and 8. It was a much-needed play for the Broncos, and obviously that touchdown there. But he had six catches on 7 targets. He was highly efficient. Jerry Jeudy, you know, that one big time play he had 43 yards down the right sideline was great. And then after that, he had about a 21-yarder after that. So he finished the game with 2 catches, about 61 yards on 4 targets. Noah Fant, you know, was targeted 6 times, had 5 receptions, really kind of short chunk plays there, and a couple of targets out of the backfield for Melvin Gordon. He did have 1 drop, so he had 2 catches on 3 targets, one of them being a drop. And Deshaun Hamilton just continues to struggle, really had a hard time finding the football in the air. Could have been a touchdown from Brett Rippon to Deshaun Hamilton, but he just could not locate the football. And that's going to, you know, be something we're going to take a look at on the film as well. So we're going to break it down when the All-22 releases, breaking it down here for the offensive side of the ball. Tight end position, really just involving them in the run blocking game, pass pro game. Nick Vannett went out for a couple of receptions, had 1 catch for 7 yards, but primarily the Broncos used Jake Butt and Nick Vannett as extra blockers next to the right tackle with Damar Dotson. So I like the fact that the Broncos went with that emphasis there as well. Now they just got to hope that Noah Fant can return 10 days from now against the New England Patriots. And some of the takeaways that we got from some of the fans here on Twitter about the Broncos on the offensive side of the ball, you know, I think a lot of the thoughts were on Brett Rippon. I'll read a few off right here. MJ Harrison says, you can see the bad blood of the Broncos towards Adam Gase. I think it even amplified a little bit more towards late in that game after Gase was using it. Look, the game was already a 2-score game. Gase was trying to use all of his timeouts with about 12 seconds left. Didn't make much sense at that point. So, you know, yeah, some bad blood there. Not to mention that a couple years ago, while they were up big on the Broncos in Miami, he did an onside kick in the fourth quarter. You know, I think that's something that John Elway probably had a personal vendetta against. But, yeah, the Jets got away with a lot of cheap stuff. They tried to chop block Bradley Chubb. And, look, Chubb had a monster game. We're going to talk about that coming up here in just a moment. Tylan Lampkin says, Brett got his first NFL win, so I couldn't be happier. You know, happy for a guy like Brett Rippon too. You know, he's got to go back on the tape. He's got to look at his mechanics. He's got to look at his reads on those 3 interceptions. I mean, he could have had 4. I mean, the first throw, the touchdown to Jerry Jeudy, was underthrown. Pierre Desir made a play on it. Jerry Jeudy just made a bigger play on it and pulled it away from him. So he's got to go back and he's got to go through and see, what can I do? What can I force? What can I not force? And, you know, I think he's going to grow from this, but I do think the Broncos, look, let him continue to develop. I think for the overall parameters of where he's at, I think he's the best backup option for the Broncos behind Drew Lock. Obviously, I don't know what the status is going to be. You know, there's some expectations that Blake Bortles may get the start against the New England Patriots, but we'll see. There's still 10 days from this being able to happen. Bulgarian 279 says, OJ Moody is a stud. Josie Jewell was awesome. Yeah, we're going to talk about those two guys coming up here in just a moment when we focus on the defensive breakdown as well. Only True Fan says, Fangio finally matches play calling with skills. He brought the house on defense. Rippon was one smart guy. Need 1,000-mile-per-hour wins to push the injury cloud to Kansas City. I never wish injury on anybody. It's just unfortunate with the NFL. That's what happens when you don't get an adequate strength and conditioning offseason program or preseason games. You're going to have guys going down with injuries. But I think for the most part, the Broncos made it out. Shelby Harris, you know, had some cramping during the game. He was able to finish the game. So that's good news for the Broncos on the injury front of things. But Broncos country, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to take a deep dive in the Broncos defense, because I tell you what, there's some really exciting things about this Broncos defense with how they played on Thursday night, especially against some wide receivers. Jameson Crowder returned to the lineup. He was good in the slot. We're going to talk about how the Broncos may have gotten the rhythm back on the defensive side of the ball. Coming up here in just a moment, we've got to tell you about the 2 other sponsors. Today's episode, Lockdown Broncos, our good friends over there, rockauto.com and sportsbetting.com. But with rockauto.com, anytime something goes wrong with your vehicle, you need to have someone who's reliable with the right parts, with the right prices for you and your budget to be able to get you back on the road. And that's rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. So go to rockauto.com today to shop for auto and body parts from over hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything that you could be looking for, whether it's an engine control module, whether you need brake parts, to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, you get everything that you need and just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. And that's why I rock with rockauto.com. The best part of it all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. And the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts elsewhere? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on in there. How did you hear about us, Box? So that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And sportsbetting.com is now live and taking action in the state of Colorado, folks. And sportsbetting.com is passionate about sports and the authority on sports betting With their own in-house bookmaker, sportsbetting.com is known for their sharp odds and their low juice. That means the best prices for you. If you bet on the Broncos in the Jets game, you may have came away with some money there. And new players get a welcome bonus, a 100% risk-free week of sports betting, up to $500. Sportsbetting.com offers no-hassle bonuses with just a one-time playthrough. So take advantage of their NFL touchdown and their NBA playoff MVP promotions with can't-lose offers on first touchdown and triple-double scores. So get your action on at the home of sports betting. That's sportsbetting.com/LockedOnBroncos. Our focus on today's postgame report here for the Broncos 37-28 victory over the New York Jets. We shift our sights onto the defensive side of the ball here on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify. Locked On Broncos is here for you every single day, Monday through Friday. We got you covered with daily exclusive Denver Broncos content, news, and analysis. But let's focus on the defensive side of the ball here for this Denver Broncos team. Now, some things that stood out. I mean, the Broncos didn't really generate any takeaways from the secondary. That's still one thing I would like to see. Need some more interceptions coming up here, but really wanted to focus on the Broncos in the secondary at the cornerback position here. You saw Michael Ojemudia. You saw Bryce Callahan starting. And then you got Sang Bassey inside the nickel. And Bassey, this was the one game where he struggled. I feel like this was really the one game so far that we've seen so far through 3 weeks where he has really just, he couldn't keep up with anybody. He looked winded. He looked lost out there. And Jamison Crowder was having a field day against him inside the slot. And that started to go away towards the second quarter. And so the Broncos pulled out of Sang Bassey and they rolled with Devontae Bosby, Michael Ojemudia on the outside. And then Bryce Callahan returned in the nickel where, look, I think the Broncos looked much better defensively. I think they were able to cover guys more effectively. They were able to blitz more. And I think it really was a predicator of Bryce Callahan playing inside that slot and that nickel. Bosby on the outside, by the way, he gets a game ball from me. He stepped up in a big way here. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But you know, in terms of Michael Ojemudia, just really impressed with him so far as a rookie for this Broncos football team. You know, he's a third-round pick, but he hasn't been playing like a third-round pick. He's been playing like he's going to be a cornerstone piece of this franchise. And when I watch film on him, even back after the Pittsburgh Steelers game, I'm not worried about him. Yeah, you know what? He's a rookie. Teams are going to target him. Teams love to target the rookies. There's some plays, too. I think he's got great makeup speed. There's some times where he plays a little bit of trail technique on the wide receiver. But overall, his ability to phase in and to fit in on the hip and squeeze and play the football was impressive. Now, he had several passes defended. There was one, like I mentioned early on in the game, it was a deep play. It was a 38-yard play, and he knocks the ball down. They call pass interference as absolutely the worst pass interference call I think I've seen in the NFL, one of the worst you'll see this year. Great freaking play by Michael Ojemudia. He's a guy that has stood out so far for the Broncos through 4 games as a rookie. And obviously, we mentioned the struggles of a Sang Bassey. So Devontae Bosby got the start in the second half for the Broncos. I mean, he came in right away towards the end of the second quarter, had a pass breakup in the end zone on Chris Hogan. Then he had a couple of other pass breakups. He almost had an interception late in that fourth quarter that would have sealed it. And then the Broncos came up big defensively. So the secondary, look, they balled out. Devontae Bosby, Bryce Callahan, Michael Ojemudia. That cornerback unit gets an honorary game ball from me here. Josie Jewell also, you had a really good game. Let's talk about the inside linebackers now for this Broncos team. Alexander Johnson and Josie Jewell, they were in a good position tonight for this Broncos team. We saw Vic Fangio blitz them a lot. I mean, commonly and consistently, Josie Jewell was more of the coverage inside linebacker this evening while they sent Alexander Johnson several times. Josie Jewell was also blitzed several times. He came away with 2 sacks in this game, so the Outlaw coming away with a game-high 8 tackles here for the Broncos and 2 sacks, 2 tackles for a loss in the backfield. So Josie Jewell had a really good game, did a pretty good job against Kalen Ballage out of the backfield, and also Frank Gore. They tried to run the wheel route that Tampa Bay had some success on with the tight ends last week. It didn't work against Josie Jewell. He had a really good game, a really good bounce back game. I think he needed this after last week's game. Some of that narrative too about the coverage, but the Broncos were able to dial up that pressure, and it really started with guys on that defensive line, Shelby Harris and Bradley Chubb. And look, those guys really stood out to me. Deshaun Williams a little bit saw some attention, but mainly Shelby Harris was working Connor McGovern and the right guard for the New York Jets, and it was causing Sam Darnold to have to escape, roll out to his right, or even step up or step back, roll out to his left. And that's where guys like Bradley Chubb came into the mix. And really, I think the Broncos defensive line, the pressure of the front seven, I think they did a really good job overall. They held the New York Jets to under 50 yards rushing. And so I think I will take that 9 times out of 10 any type of game day. And so really, let's talk about the pass rush here for this Broncos team. I thought that Malik Reed had a really good game for the Broncos, caused several pressures off the exterior. Just a little concern, though, for the Broncos on the defensive side of the ball in terms of edge control. contained Sam Darnold. I mean, he probably had the most rushing yards. I mean, when we talk about holding him under 50 yards, well, Sam Darnold actually had the most rushing yards overall for the New York Jets. So that right there was a little bit of a concern there when you didn't expect that to happen. He's more mobile than most people will give him credit for. But, I think Malik Reed, Devontae Bosby, those guys stepped up for the Broncos today as role players. And then Bradley Chubb, obviously your key contributor, coming back. 2.5 sacks on Sam Darnold and 2 of them tackled for a loss. He just had a monster game. And then the New York Jets tried to chip him and chop block him. He had to go to the tent, and towards the end of the second quarter came back in like nothing happened. Shelby Harris also finished the game with 0.5 a sack as well. Anthony Ciccolo and McTelvin Najim, they saw some action here for this Broncos team as well. But the key standouts, even Mike Purcell was gobbling up double teams and getting in the backfield and allowing those guys off the edge like Malik Reed and Bradley Chubb to close down the line of scrimmage. But I think the Broncos, especially against Cam Newton coming up here in 10 days, they've got to really focus on an emphasis, because I imagine that Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels is going to look at the Broncos, some of their struggles so far this season with edge contain, and they might try to come up with some design plays, some design runs for Cam Newton, and the Broncos can't allow that to happen. So 10 days for the Broncos to prepare. Yeah, I thought Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson played really well. You know, Justin Simmons had that missed tackle on Sam Darnold in that first quarter, and you could see the Twitter timeline kind of flowing up. But outside of that, I mean, he came back and he responded, and he was in great coverage position most of the night. No big plays really given up for him. And he had a couple of big hits as well. So, you know, Justin Simmons had a good game. Kareem Jackson had a really good game as well. There was one catch that Jameson Crowder had that was absolutely amazing. I mean, tight, contested coverage. Not sure how he made that play, but Kareem Jackson was also a guy that was out there thumping people. And then Bryce Callahan, like I said, really the unsung hero tonight, in my opinion, when we look at the back end of that secondary altogether, covering that slot and that nickel. The Broncos were getting gashed there in the nickel in that first half. The moment that Callahan came in, things changed for Denver all across the board. So the defense, I mean, they were able to get some stuff going. I was really impressed with them overall, and I think it's something that the Broncos really can build on, I think, going forward. When you talk about defense momentum and being able to blitz guys, I think really having that coverage dynamic inside the slot will help out. When you can have Bryce Callahan, Michael Ojemudia, and Devontae Bosby, they can all play man coverage. So now you can actually send more pressure if you are Vic Fangio. So that is something I love to see. I mean, you'll never hear me complain about that. It's something I'm always going to be on. But also, and then the last shout out of the night here on today's postgame report, Broncos win 37-28 over the New York Jets. Brandon McManus, 3-for-3 on the night and 4-for-4 on his extra point attempts. He was clutch for the Broncos. His longest field goal of the evening was 54 yards, so really coming up big. So he had a 53-yarder, he had a 54-yarder, and then he had one from 43 or 46, one or the other. But the point, you know, kind of remains the same. It went down the middle. It was good, and he was McMoney for the Denver Broncos on Thursday Night Football. But Broncos country, that'll do it for today's postgame report of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Broncos 1-3 on the year, first win of the season, 37-28. Go back and watch the game on NFL Game Pass, where you can go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. I highly encourage it. We're going to have the All-22 film up this week, and we're going to recap the Broncos offense, Brett Rypien's decision-making, and some of the big plays of the game. Then we're going to take a look at the defensive side of the ball, the secondary, the how they played, and we're also going to take a look at Bradley Chubb, player of the game here for the Broncos football team on the defensive side of the ball. So with that said, Broncos country, I'm Cody Rourke, your host. As always, you can get Locked On Broncos on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. We are there for you every single day. Like I said, if you listen to Locked On Broncos on Monday, well, guess what? You need to listen on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, because we got you covered. We got you locked into all the latest around Dove Valley here on the Locked On Broncos podcast. We'll see you on Monday for a brand new episode of the show.